Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday, April the 14th, 2026. 16 coming up on 17 minutes past the hour. Almost halfway through the month of April already. How does that happen? Tomorrow, tax day. How about that? April the 15th, lucky tax day. Now, I want to do a little bit of housekeeping here before we get to last night's city council rundown. As I said yesterday, Colleen Marshall, NBC4 legend Colleen Marshall, came to Marion on Friday to interview the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. That interview, clips of that interview, will air during the newscast on NBC4 this week, and the full interview will air this Sunday on Sunday Briefing with Colleen Marshall from 10 a.m. till 10:30. I was there when the interview was done last Friday, and I caught up with Mary Ellen after she had been interviewed by Colleen Marshall, and we talked about what it was like to be interviewed by Colleen. This interview runs about 5 minutes, and then we'll come back and talk about a whole lot of other stuff. But here is the 40th Treasurer of the United States talking about her interview with Colleen Marshall.
Scott Spears here with the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Colleen Marshall from NBC4 just left the living room of Mary Ellen Withrow. It was a great interview. We got to witness it. It will air throughout the week. Little snippets on NBC4, Channel 4, WCMH, and then will air on the Sunday program, I believe coming up on the 18th is the date, but a week from this coming Sunday. Mary Ellen, what was it like to be interviewed by Colleen Marshall?
It was great. I really like her, and I thought she did a great interview.
What was it like to be interviewed by the Columbus News? Of course, that's happened before, but to do it again at this point, what was it like?
It was a very easy interview. Very nice. Yeah.
What do you remember most from the interview today?
The fact that she didn't get into anything difficult, you know, really. It was just a very nice interview, and I like those, yeah.
What do you make of Colleen Marshall and her 42-year body of work?
Well, I like to watch her on Sundays. I do. I watch her every Sunday when I can, and she's one of my favorites.
Do you like to watch yourself on television? Will you enjoy seeing yourself on television?
I don't know about that. Sometimes I enjoy it, sometimes I don't.
You found out about this on very short notice. Have you told your kids and grandkids that this is going to be on?
No, just Linda found out because I called Linda to have her ask Siri what the name of the current treasurer was. Brandon Beach, which I found out and didn't have to use that today. But, and you know, I don't think he's signed the money at all. No, he hasn't, has he?
No.
Okay.
At this point, as we've talked about, being on television, still people wanting to interview you. As you said in the interview, little sneak peek, you're still getting money in the mail from California, other states. What is that like to still have it coming at this point in your life?
I've got it laying back there on my desk to sign. I got one today from Maine, and I got one yesterday from California. And it's very nice things. They always write such a nice letter. And then this is two really bad-looking dollar bills. I don't know. I always feel like I ought to replace them with a better-looking dollar bill. But and yesterday it was a 50 and a well, it's two 20s and a 50. Yeah.
What do you hope people who watch this interview and see the clips this coming week get from the interview that you did today? What do you want them to know?
Well, I want them to know that running for office, we need good people to run for office, and we should encourage people. I just did a thing for the local people here, for young people to run for office. And same thing, that they should encourage people to run for office, because if I hadn't had two teachers ask me to run for school board, I don't think I would have ever run for office, you know?
What would you tell people to get them to watch this interview this week? What would you say to them?
Well, just, you need to watch it. It's rather interesting.
I think, and you'll be watching.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Sure.
There we go.
Yeah.
And we'll have to talk to you after we've seen a little bit of it and see what, if you like what came across on television.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see how it comes across, yeah.
The one and only 40th Treasurer of the United States, a treasure to be sure. So says Colleen Marshall, so says Bill Clinton, so says Al Gore, so says everybody. One of a kind, a true treasure, Mary Ellen Withrow.
And don't forget, clips of that interview will air on NBC4 this week, and the interview in its entirety will air on Sunday Briefing this coming Sunday with Colleen Marshall on NBC4. From 10 until 10:30 in the morning. All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have anything you'd like to say, feel free to give me a buzz. Well, last night's city council meeting. Well, I can say this. The room was full last night for the city council meeting last night. There were a lot of firefighters in the room. Now, I would guess that's because their contract... they had come to an agreement on their new contract for the upcoming year. And the thing that sticks out in that contract, there are a few changes. But the biggest thing is a 0% increase in salaries. So a 0% increase in salaries. And that was worked out between the firefighters union and the city. So, I think that's a significant thing. Now, also last night, Sean Wilson was elected and sworn in as the new 4th Ward City Council person. So, City Council is back up to full par at this point. Twyla Lang resigned that seat back in February when she took the job as treasurer of Marion. After that job was vacated by Vidya, and Vidya became the auditor. After that job was vacated by Miranda McGinnis. A lot of musical chairs at the beginning of the year this year. So Sean Wilson is the new 4th Ward City Councilman. Now, I don't think we know a whole lot about Sean at this particular point. We do know that he has an association with ODOT. I believe he said he worked for ODOT, so he had to abstain from a few votes last night that had to do with ODOT street projects, and I think he's waiting for some clarification on if he can vote on those things from the ethics committee, I think is what he said last night. So Sean Wilson, the new 4th Ward City Council person, and the firefighters take a 0% increase in their salaries, and I believe that contract starts immediately and runs a year. So we'll see how that goes. And apparently this was all done because of the financial problems in the city. Now, where does all that go? I don't know. There was no mention last night of the city's plan going down to the state. A matter of fact, that hasn't been mentioned for a few weeks now. And we're almost halfway through the month of April at this point. No talk last night of raising the bus fares. No talk last night of curbside recycling. Although, apparently, that's been put up for suggestions on what to do on the city website. So here we are. I mean, not much more to say than that. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But more or less, that was the city council meeting last night. There really wasn't a whole lot more than that, anything of substantiation. So the firefighters get a 0% increase in salaries for the next year, and Sean Wilson is the new 4th Ward City Councilman. So that's that. And as we head toward the plan of how this city is going to work itself out financially with the state auditor. I guess we'll find out. Will bus fares be going up? I don't know. Will curbside recycling be going away? It would seem that way with the suggestion or vote, I guess is how it's done. You get two choices to decide on what you'd like to see happen with curbside recycling. I think one is you pay an extra $5 and Rumkey comes and gets your recycling. And then the other thing is you can take your recycling to the city and they'll take care of that. So there's that at this point. But will the city work itself out? I don't know. It certainly seemed last night that the there was a little bit of a confidence in the room, I think. I think last night there didn't seem to be any worry. Let's put it that way. So maybe they've got things straightened out on their end and things are moving in a positive fashion at this particular point. Now again, if anybody's got anything they'd like to weigh in on, feel free, 740-383-9944. But that's kind of how the meeting went last night. There were a few other things that came up off the agenda, but really nothing of great importance, I would say. You know, we spent a lot of time on this program yesterday talking about this whole Amy Acton incident over the weekend. NBC News reported that there was a domestic dispute at her home back in 2019. And we had a lot of conversation about this on the show yesterday. Now, if you didn't tune in, basically what happened was in 2019, police were called to Dr. Acton's home, and the report showed that she had pulled a mirror off a wall, shattering the glass. She became upset because she felt her husband was antagonizing her. She told officers she'd been drinking, had taken an unknown amount of prescription drugs, and was about to drive away in her car before her husband, who had also told police he'd been drinking, talked her out of it, the report stated. Now, apparently this was all about a verbal argument over her extended work hours. The campaign really came in and denied this on Friday and wanted to clarify a few things. They said Acton and her husband had returned home from dinner where she had one drink. During a verbal disagreement regarding her long work hours, Acton bumped into a wall hanging which fell. She then went to bed and was asleep when the police arrived. Officers arrived, I guess, at 9:45 p.m. back then. So, you know, there's that. And the governor weighed in on this, Governor DeWine, who, of course, worked with Dr. Acton as health director when she was health director during the whole COVID thing, said, let's see, what did the governor say about this? He said, the 2019 incident in Acton's home was until now had not been reported publicly. It was also not something widely known, if it was known at all, inside the DeWine administration. The governor, according to his spokesperson, was not happy to learn of the matter for the first time from NBC News. Prior to your inquiry, Governor DeWine was unaware of both the 2019 incident and associated police report involving Dr. Acton. The spokesperson, Dan Tierney, wrote in an email response to questions. The governor holds his staff to the highest standards of conduct. Given what the allegations in the report are, that they are deeply troubling, Governor DeWine would have expected Dr. Acton to have, at the time, promptly disclosed this to him, and he is very disappointed that it did not occur. So that's from Governor DeWine. Now, the Acton campaign did send out a statement yesterday morning, and it basically said Amy Acton's campaign manager Phil Stein released the following statement. in a new low for his campaign, Vivek Ramaswamy and his allies dishonestly attempted to smear Amy for a private verbal disagreement between her and her husband, to whom she had been happily married for 16 years. But we were shocked and disgusted to see Ramaswamy's allies shame Amy for being sexually harassed as a child, abused as a child. In 1994, Amy honestly answered a question on her medical licensure that she had sought therapy because of her childhood experience. While that question is no longer on medical license applications in Ohio because it was found to deter applicants from seeking the treatment they need, Amy is proud of the fact that she got help, the help that she needed, and encourages anyone with similar experiences to do so. It's shameful that Ramaswamy's allies are attacking someone for seeking treatment after being sexually abused as a child, as a doctor, as a survivor, and as a mom. Amy is disgusted that Vivek would do anything but stand with childhood survivors of sexual assault. But I looked for this, and I cannot find where Ramaswamy is making these claims. Now, maybe people who are associated with him are making these claims, but I don't know where that is. And I have not seen that story. And then Ramaswamy got into some problem yesterday because apparently some people who had endorsed him have problems of their own, let's say. One of them had made some remarks about young girls. Not a good thing. So I guess they were taken off of Ramaswamy's website, and then one of them was put back. Okay, you know, when somebody endorses you, I mean, do you have to run a check on them when they endorse you? I don't know. If somebody brings it to your attention that they've done something bad, isn't that the time when you do something about it? Which it seems that's what Ramaswamy has done. As near as I can tell, and I'm not the spokesperson for the Ramaswamy campaign, but I don't know. This all seems to be swirling around in about a 4 or 5 day period, and in the end, does any of it make any difference? Does any of it sway any voters one way or another? I don't know what any of this has to do with being governor of Ohio, either of these stories. So, there you are. That's politics in a nutshell. If anybody's got anything to say, feel free to weigh in. 34 minutes past the hour here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 34 minutes past the hour. We'd love to hear from you, but that's the rundown of City Council last night, and also what's going on with the governor's race here in Ohio. Does it mean anything on the whole? You know, I was thinking yesterday, because we did have a pretty extensive conversation about this Amy Acton story, and we talked with a lot of our listeners about it. Does it mean anything? I don't know. This is kind of the question when you go back to, like, the Bill Clinton era. You know, obviously, Bill Clinton had some extracurricular picadillos with women. Now, people were not happy with that, but did it have anything to do with him being president? So I guess this comes to the question again of moral character. You know, if we look for perfect people to run for office, are we ever going to find any perfect people? You know, I think people make mistakes. And are we going to disqualify people for not being perfect? Then you got to look to California, what's going on right there. Congressman Swalwell was going to run for governor. Apparently there were some allegations of sexual abuse, and now not only is he not running for governor, he has resigned from Congress at this particular point. Now, maybe that's the way it should be. Sexual abuse is a very serious thing. You know, I don't think we should take that very lightly. But does this Amy Acton story mean anything as a whole? I guess what I don't understand about it is if it didn't mean anything, and it was kind of a nothing incident with Dr. Acton, when she knew that this was coming out on Friday, when NBC News contacted her for a statement, why didn't she come out Friday night and say, this is going to be coming out tomorrow, this is what happened? And when it came out on Saturday, why didn't she come out Saturday and say, listen, you've read it, this is what happened, so on and so forth? I mean, this is Tuesday, and we really still have not heard from her. We've heard from her campaign manager, who released a statement, but really nobody from the Acton campaign, including Dr. Acton herself, which again, it seems like candidates these days running for office seem to have a big problem with the press for whatever reason. Now, I'm not sure exactly what that problem is that they have with the press, but there is one, and I don't know exactly how you cure that, because if you don't speak to the press about these things, I think these problems get bigger. You know, if you go back to 92 when Clinton was running for office, you know, one thing he did do is after he was accused of having incidents outside of his marriage, he did go on 60 Minutes himself with his wife, Hillary Clinton. And they spoke to 60 Minutes, I believe after the Super Bowl, about what he had done and what he hadn't done. And he answered the questions, and I think it helped his campaign. Well, obviously it helped his campaign because he ended up becoming president later on that year against an incumbent president, George Bush, George Bush the father. So I think that ultimately becomes the problem, is that candidates and politicians do not get out ahead of the stories. And even when the stories are out, they don't put the kibosh on them. They let them linger. And then what we have to do in the news or on talk shows or whatever we're doing is basically speculate about what's going on. Like I said, I still don't understand what they're talking about with Ramaswamy bringing up her childhood abuse. I haven't seen that. Now, I'm sure somebody probably has said something. Now, is it the Ramaswamy campaign? I don't know. I have not found that yet. I certainly don't see where Ramaswamy himself has said anything. So here we are. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
I'm still voting for Amy.
So this can throw you off the...
I don't care that she fought with her husband how many ever years ago. No one was arrested. No one was injured. No one... I mean, something was broken, but there weren't any criminal charges. Again, no one was injured. No one was bleeding. The police didn't feel the need to arrest anyone. People argued and the police got called. My neighborhood, it happens all the time. I shouldn't say all the time. It doesn't happen all the time anymore, but it used to. So that's, I mean, that's a common person. If her or anything, I would lean into it and be like, you know what? We fought. Things escalated. Again, I would have went back to, we still love each other. We worked through it. We understand, blah, blah, blah.
Now, that's about it. Well, right. And again, nobody is saying that married couples don't have disputes. And nobody's saying that the cops are not called sometimes. Matter of fact, I was reading a story this morning about this, in which I think the campaign is saying now that they're not sure who called, but it was somebody who probably feared for her safety. But they need not fear for her safety because it was a minor altercation. Well, see, there again, if it's a minor altercation, then I don't know that somebody would be fearing for her safety enough to call the police.
Okay, so where those people live and where I live are probably two different things. So when you hear somebody over here yelling and hollering, you wait to see if it's going to escalate before you call the police. Where she lives and the type of people that she's around, if they hear any yelling or hollering, they probably immediately call the police.
Well, yeah, but I think the problem here is, honestly, I don't think it's the argument with her husband. I think everybody would give a pass on that. I think it's the other stuff that was in the police report. I think it's the fact, you know, that they characterize it as pulling a mirror off the wall and shattering the glass when she became upset. I think it's the fact that she told officers she'd been drinking and had taken an unknown amount of prescription drugs and was about to drive away in her car before her husband had stopped her.
But she didn't do any of those things.
No, but apparently only because the husband had stopped her. And
but we don't know that for sure. That's in the police report.
That's what the police say. Right.
And I can tell you that there are police reports right now that the police have came to my house and they've taken the report from me, and my name is wrong. My actual name, not spelled wrong. My name is wrong. So I don't put a whole lot of credence into police reports being 100% accurate.
Well, you're right, and police reports can be wrong, but that's why I say when her campaign responded to this, I don't understand, you know, because their claim is that she had bumped into a wall in which a hanging had fallen.
Let me tell you this one, Scott. One police report about me said that I was going to court the following week with my ex-husband to seek a protection order. I have never been married. I could not have an ex-husband, and I was not going to court the following week to get a protection order against someone that didn't exist. That's just an example of how wrong police reports can be.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, but the cops were called, not mm-hmm. by them,
no.
By somebody who clearly heard something.
Now, did they live in a condo? Did they live in a house? Did they live
in... Well, the home in Bexley that people saw her picketing in front... People saw people picketing in front of.
It's a single-unit home, then.
Okay, but...
Is that what you're saying? I don't know.
I think so. I don't think it's a gigantic place.
Okay, but I didn't know if it... Like, maybe they had moved there recently or something.
No, this is...
Context would matter if you lived in a condo and your neighbors could hear you screaming.
Right, but I mean... So they, because they don't know who made this report, I guess that...
Yeah, I want to know who called.
Well, I mean, in 2019, nobody really knew who she was, so I'm sure it
right.
was just one of her neighbors. So that being said, okay, what in the world did they hear? Because I...
Okay, but Scott, in Bexley, if you hear yelling, you're calling the police. Because
okay.
that's a very well-to-do area. They're not going to be desensitized to yelling and screaming and things like that. So if you hear any yelling in an area like that, you're calling the police, and they're going to show up. That's different.
Well, why is there such a dispute, then, over what happened with the mirror? I mean, why
I don't know. I don't. I wish she would have just been, like, in the process of the argument, a mirror was broken instead of I bumped into it. But you know what? As Lee said, maybe she did... I don't want to say thrown into a wall, but who knows? If it was hanging on the wall and it was loose, or if it was on a shelf and she threw something and the mirror fell, or he threw something, or who knows who threw what or what happened.
Well, then, now we also have to give Ramaswamy a pass, because there are people running with this story now that he had two people endorse him who had sketchy backgrounds when it comes to
Are we counting the 34-time felon president as those two people?
No. He's not one of those people.
I know that he had some kitty diddler background or something like that.
Well, apparently, that person has been taken off. The other one was put back. He made a comment, something that had to do with... what was the thing here? His name is, I think he's Representative Click. So he's still a representative, by the way. He made headlines earlier this month after video resurfaced showing Click reminiscing about talking to young girls about how painful it is for them to engage in intercourse. Okay, now listen. Not a good thing. But the man is still apparently... As near as I can tell...
Take him off the endorsement list.
Okay, well, why has he been put back on there? I don't know.
Unless that man is a doctor, he does not need to be discussing that with teenage girls.
Well, I don't know why he did. I don't understand it.
I don't even know what to say about that.
Well, it's not good, but why would the Ramaswamy people put it back up? And do you have to take... ownership of everybody who endorses you.
You don't have to take ownership of everyone that endorses you, but if you're going to, then you have to own all of it. You see what I'm saying? Like, I could say, I want Ben Weber to be state representative, and if he throws my name, which he wouldn't, but I'm saying, but if he threw my name in as some person that endorsed him, then he needs to own all the bad that goes along with me.
Well, it's interesting, because I did see that the Ramaswamy campaign was up, or no, excuse me, not the Ramaswamy campaign, the Acton campaign was all over Ramaswamy this morning about this. Now, you know, if I just had my own trauma over the weekend where I didn't probably not handle it the best, I don't know that I would be the one to jump on Ramaswamy about this, but okay, I guess. I don't know.
We all dislike kitty diddlers. That's one thing we can agree on.
But I don't think that's what this guy did. I don't think he's been accused of that.
Well, he clearly, I don't believe that, but the other guy had been, hadn't he? Wasn't he actually charged?
Yeah, Creech was accused of in 2023 of climbing into bed with a minor female relative.
Yes.
Yeah.
And isn't he the guy that's trying, okay, yes, and he's the guy that's trying to ban drag performances in the state of Ohio, right?
Right, but I don't think...
To protect the children. I'm just trying to put it together in my head.
Right, but I think this is just... As near as I can tell, it's just an accusation.
Okay.
I don't know that...
I think he's charged criminally, isn't he? Are
they
investigating criminally, or...
I
don't know about that.
It says Creech, he was accused in 2023, which is 3 years ago, of climbing into bed with a minor female relative... according to the Bureau of Criminal Investigation documents obtained by the State House News. And then a Click, who made headlines earlier this month after video resurfaced showing Click reminiscing about talking to young girls about how painful it was for them to engage in intercourse.
How did these people get elected?
Now, we should say, this was during testimony about his anti-trans legislation. So, I don't know. Is that in context? I have no idea.
I don't know. New topic. My fourth ward city councilman.
Oh, yes, you got a new councilman.
My new one, yes. Him and Sean Barr are besties. Isn't that wonderful for me? And him and Alan Wilson from downtown Marion, who forwarded the email.
Oh, yes, me, yes,
the
yes,
90
yes,
plus
yes,
people,
yes.
They're cousins. So
oh, they're cousins?
I really wonder how well my interests in my ward will be represented as opposed to downtown Marion and Sean Barr's.
So
the circle still unbroken.
Well, they all voted for it last night except Kreider.
I watched.
Yeah.
So, someone that we've never heard of that works for the state of Ohio, and I think that's what he said. He already had to recuse himself from votes last night for conflicts of interest.
Yeah, he did.
There's pictures. The local Republican Party should have a meeting, and they should have a vow amongst themselves to stop taking pictures of themselves all out vacationing and drinking together and posting them to the internet because of the appearance of impropriety. We got Sean Barr and this guy. They've been vacationing to Nashville. They've been vacationing to Florida earlier this year. All out drinking and having a good time together. And give me a whole lot of confidence that it's not going to be just another yes man up there.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think he's going to have to learn how it all goes. I mean, he was thrown kind of into it last night.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't expect him to. He voted on stuff last night, though, that he had no idea about.
Well... You know, so that goes, I guess. I mean, when you're sworn in the night of...
You could always say, I'm going to sit this one out because I don't know anything about it.
Well, a lot of things he did abstain. I think the things he voted for were very minor, excepting
money. Josh Feliciano wanted that job. He reapplied for that position, and the Republican Party did not choose him.
Well, that's not surprising, I don't think.
You don't think
I don't think they were fans of his. Well, apparently they weren't.
Did he have a mind of his own? Was that the problem?
I don't know. I really don't know what happened there, because I think they were fans when he started running for office, but it seemed like at some point it kind of fell apart. I don't really know what the reason was. I don't know.
Well, he reapplied for the position, and he did not get it. Twyla Lang's grandson also applied for the position, but my understanding is two of the people voting on, two of the people required to vote on it would have been Twyla and him, so he couldn't get enough unbiased votes to get in there. And so now we end up with one of Sean Barr's friends, his close lifelong friends as the council, next new member of council. So.
Well, it's interesting to see how this is all shaking out. I'm just shocked as I sat there last night that there is very little discussion from council people, where I would think it would be, you know, where is the plan with the state, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. There doesn't seem to be very much concern on anybody's behalf.
No, and I think that comes back to lack of experience and understanding the urgent and emergency situation that we're in, and everyone wants to sit up there and talk about auditing the software system and how much did it cost to install New World. And, you know, I mean, we're talking about costs that go back to 2008. People want to document at this point. Why? Why don't we deal with what's going on in 2026 and worry about that?
Was that the email Ralph Smith read?
Yes, I wasn't there, but we have a little group chat going on when I'm not at city council. Well, when I'm there too. Amongst our group chat, we were all wondering, what was Collins Space doing? Because Collins didn't even acknowledge the fact that Ralph Smith went for 3 or 4 minutes. He just moved right on into the next topic.
I don't think anybody's face was doing anything on. I just think there wasn't even a word spoken. As soon as Ralph was done reading the email, it was on to the next thing.
So, like, there wasn't anyone, no huffing or eye-rolling or any faces or, like,
you know,
nothing like that.
I think people were just sort of, I don't want to say.
Well, see, now, if that's the case, if they were able to maintain themselves, then that's progress. Because before, you would actually be able to hear them go, and see eye rolling and people slumping in their seats and things like that. So if they're able to not do that, then I've got to give them credit and talk about their progress as growth as humans.
Well, I think everybody on council, I mean, nobody asked a question. Nobody from the administration asked a question. Nobody responded. Nobody had anything to say. I mean, there was completely nothing. And I was surprised at how quick the mayor stood up, because I thought when the mayor stood up, he was going to have some kind of answer to that. And he just rolled on to the next thing.
Me too. I was surprised and giggled.
Well, I think it comes back to what I've said before, that with the current situation the city's in, and one of the things is, yes, there is some of this that goes back to reconciliation, yes, but most people are trying to figure out now, is the city going to be taken over by the state, and what's going to be taken away, and what's going to be changed, and what's going to be done. Most people are reporting...
People aren't dying to know how much the software cost in 2008?
Well, I don't know anybody...
What modules have been purchased since then?
Well, I just don't know what, at this point, what part of the story that would be. You know, I don't know. I don't know. Because I'm just confused on that. You know, that is not of maybe it's of interest to somebody. I don't know. But I don't see anybody reporting on this. I don't see the newspaper reporting on this. I don't see anybody.
Well, that's because no one else is smart enough to actually see the sabotage that's going on. And it's up to them. And apparently now Ralph Smith. He's really going to discredit himself. I was starting to give him a little bit of hope there. But he's really going to discredit himself if he keeps going on about stuff that's just not real.
Well, you know what? As I said before, I understand why people probably... Here's the thing. Because nobody ever really... This letter last night, I'm trying to remember who they said had signed it.
Jason Foreman and Dennis Potts.
Okay. Now, I'm not sure how this would help either one of them, less the fact that they're investigating it. So, okay,
That's what they say they're doing.
Right.
But you know what I want to know why is why Ralph Smith got up there and read that email when for years my emails have been ignored, my record requests have been ignored. I've gone up there and asked, and I'm asking for financial documents that are recent, not from 2 decades ago, And no one has gotten up there and said, why aren't we answering her emails? I don't understand why the silent sabotage is prioritized over issues like financial issues in the city.
Well, I don't think it was. I think that's why there was no response. I think that was
Ralph Smith. Well, a council person asked about it.
Well,
no council person never asked about why my emails weren't getting answered.
Well, I think
Ralph Smith ignored my emails, as a matter of fact. When he was an at-large councilman, he never answered me.
Well, I think that was Ralph doing his thing. Well, that was one of those instances.
Did you notice how the beginning of that email puffed him up and talked about how important and how great he was? They sure do know how to play him, don't they?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think that, I don't know.
Those people don't even live in Marion City. I don't know if Potts does or not, but Jason Foreman doesn't even live in Marion City. And you've got a city councilman up asking why his emails aren't being answered. I live in Marion City. I was asking legitimate questions about the finances, and I could not get my emails answered.
Well,
so someone that doesn't even live here is getting a whole diatribe in city council.
Well, you know, like, here's the thing. Investigate and come up with some kind of answer, I guess, and if these things will help you get there, okay. It just seems like there isn't a lot of interest with anybody from city council. There isn't a lot of interest from the administration. There isn't a lot of interest from anybody else.
Do you think they have records that extensive going that far back? What kind of time do you think it would take? They talk about, Collins actually shouted at me once and told me that they got too many records requests from me and they had other more important things to do. They had real jobs. So do you think the people with real jobs have got time to put together 20 years worth of records?
Well, do you think Collins is hot on this? It's not like he gave any kind of answer to it.
I think everybody wishes it would just go away, but you have the council person and now treasurer, I don't know if she still goes on there or not, but fed into it forever.
Well, and again, I'm not sure, as I've said before, I don't think that either of the last two treasurers, Landon or McGinnis, auditors. I don't think either one of them are the sole problem here, because even if they weren't reconciling the books, and apparently the books haven't been reconciled since 2020, if the books...
2019, December 31st, 2019.
Right, so the first year not reconciled was 2020. So if that is the case, then, you know, they don't spend the money. And nobody has ever accused them of taking the money. So, you know, isn't the current problem...
I don't want to say that Robert Landon took money because he misapplied a payment, the IRS payment, when he sent it to the state. Remember?
Yeah, that I remember happened. That. Yeah.
Okay. That caused $154,000 in fines and penalties. Now, that's not stealing, but that's misuse of public funds. Because of a mistake that he made. So, no, he didn't steal the money, but he cost us $154,000.
I guess I'm coming toward the problem today, because there is this belief in the public. Now, see, this is one of those beliefs in the public, that people actually stole money. And
I know, and I try to clear that up all the time. No one stole money. We overspent.
Right, but the overspending is not an auditor problem. Now, it is true that the auditor did not have reconciled books that they could present to the administration, but the administration knew that the books weren't reconciled properly.
Well, we didn't know some of the penalties and fines and interest that were rolling in from the IRS and from, the retirement funds and for the state, the employees, like the state employee entire retirement program, STRS, because we weren't forwarding payments on their behalf on time. We were accumulating fines and penalties and interest for years and years that no one knew about because we weren't keeping good auditing, good bookkeeping skills.
Well, this just comes back to me to the thing of...
So we were spending money we didn't know about on fines and penalties and interest because we were accumulating them. You see what I'm saying? So like money that should have been spent for for gasoline or whatever was being spent on fines.
Right, but I think a lot of this does come back to the problem again, that you can't unding a bell.
No.
Every article that was ever written on this is available in the Marion Star Archives. Every story that anybody ever did on this is available. Any interview that anybody ever did on this is available. And even if something was found that would make this into a different story, how does that change where we are now?
had audits up until 2019 that were just fine from the state of Ohio. There might have been errors here and there, but they were corrected. From 2019, the city of Marion's books were just fine. 2020, who took office.
There are two things from this story I'd like to point out here. Number one, if people are saying weird things about women or minors or whatever, you probably should know that before you have them endorse you, or you put them on your page and then you take them off and then you put them back. That's
right.
Probably a problem. I wouldn't do that. If you have a domestic...
Vet your endorsements. How's that? Vet your endorsements.
If you have a domestic dispute at your home, I would probably...
Get on Naomi's side of town because the cops won't get called until somebody gets hurt.
Well, if you're running for governor, I think you should probably speak on that before the news gets a hold of it.
And better rebuttal than this. Anyway.
And if you want to investigate something that you believe has happened for decades, nobody's going to stop you from doing that. But I don't
know. Show up and ask your own questions.
But I don't know how that changes where we are now. I don't know because
it will absolve Robert Landon of some blame somehow.
Okay,
so that's what they think.
Well, okay. I mean, if it does, it does. I don't know. Is somebody...
I just wish the state auditor would come up here and just do their thing and just shut a whole lot of mouths.
It's been 6 years. Are people really holding a grudge against him at this point?
Against Landon?
Yeah.
I don't think we're holding a grudge against him for that. I think we're holding a grudge against him for what he's become.
Well, that's a whole nother problem. But I'm just...
I
don't hear people... Honestly, I don't even know that people remember the name at this point in regard to what happened. I mean, he's been gone since 2021. I mean, that'll be 5 years this year. I don't think that people are really hung up on that. Nobody I talk to has hung up on it.
I think he's made himself more of an issue. But as the fiscal caution has came to light, he's certainly resurfaced as someone to point the finger at, rightfully so.
Well, whoever points the finger, I guess, I don't know. If it's from the state, okay, I guess, but we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Hey, thanks for calling. Bye-bye. All right, we're done this hour. We'll be back next hour. Don't go anywhere.
Make safe happen.
WGH Talk Radio is supported by ZNR Landscaping, LLC. Telephone number 234-354-9683. Mowing, tree trimming, edging, mulching, and yard cleanup. That's ZNR Landscaping, LLC. Telephone number 234-354-9683.
Adam the Computer Guy, providing on-site and